to TYH. My name is Englund. With me, I have Nikkei.
Hey there, how's it going?
That was sick.
That was beats,
that was
man.
Beatboxing for our friend White Presenting Sicilian, because he said as a comment. We'll go to the normal introductions, but to give context to my beatboxing, our friend White Presenting Sicilian says he likes my beatboxing. I don't know where he ever heard it, but apparently he likes it, so I did it for him.
I think we all shared the same fever dream.
This has all been a fever dream.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be nice.
If we just wake up and it's like, ah.
I just had a fever.
A dream.
Yeah. When you were sick, did your dad give you Gatorade, like when you had sickness? That was my dad's thing. Keep me hydrated.
Yeah. You know, you get Gatorade or Canada Dry.
Yeah, I don't think I got that. Maybe it's because I didn't like that as a kid. I don't know. But anyways, how are you doing, Nikkei?
I'm doing quite all right, man. A lot better than the country we live in, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my sleep schedule kind of, this week it started to become normal, but when this stuff started happening, now I like stay up late on Twitter and I need to consume the news, which I don't know.
I'm gonna consume the news!
Hey, speaking of consumers, but not even just consumers, a coomer. I saw a coomer out in the wild. I saw someone with a Pornhub shirt.
Oh no. Why would you wear that?
Because you need to show the world what you stand for. And some people stand for coom. I don't stand for the national anthem. I stand for coom. That's... Anyways, I did see some...
Instead of, you know, you just have your hand over your balls as you're... pledging allegiance to the hub.
So, how was your fine Saturday? No, Friday, sorry.
I'm doing way better than the country.
Oh, yeah, I probably already asked you that, but I don't remember.
It bears repeating, because, you know, the country might suck, but my life don't. And I don't have to tie myself and my life to the fate of this country.
Because he's always got Israel to go back to.
That's right. I've always got a home away from home. In fact, it's more of a home than I've ever known.
I'm Israel Chai. Anyways, I'm going to go on to the comments. That's what I meant to say. I'm kind of going to try to do these kind of quick. Bug in Recovery asks, do you guys have an RSS feed? And no, RSS machine broke. Also, Honk Hogan says, I knew TYH to drink to on a Saturday night. And he also says, oh god, you filthy goyim called me out, just giving you some props. I don't remember what we said about you.
I think we just read his comment.
Oh.
I mean, that's how this works.
I interpreted the comment as like, oh, you guys said something bad about me, but calling me out, you know, that's how I interpreted called me out.
I guess his comment wasn't exactly purely neutral in tone. So I guess our reading it is plausibly a call out. I don't know.
Tam says, and this is in reference to the fact that Nikkei told everyone to delete their Netflix accounts. Tam says, why do people find it so hard to stop giving the Netflix child molesters money? Just fucking stop. If your brain is so melted that you literally can't stop consuming and just watch stupid Shiza on YouTube for free. Merde. Sur YouTube.
I find it funny the first way you said that.
And you there, well, says, correct. Like, I canceled my account 5 years ago. That's awesome. Our audience, half of our audience was 12 then.
Yeah, no, I mean, 5 years ago? Shit, bro, couldn't even vote.
Yeah, you could. Could you?
Probably.
I could. I'm old. Okay, guys, I'm not that young. I'm in that awkward area between being a late millennial, early zoomer. I don't know what I am, and I don't care because I'm unique. Snowflake.
Well, maybe you were old enough, but you can never be old enough to cast a vote that matters.
true. Jonathan Fash says, I still Reddit space in honor of Ron Paul for 2012. Gonna get slammed on this episode. Yeah.
Why do you have to...
Oh, gonna get slammed to this episode. I don't have my glasses on. My vision is getting
Maybe
very bad.
Maybe you put your damn glasses on when you're trying to read.
Oh, there they are. And it's not reading like reading glasses. This is my computer screen so far away. Okay, there we go. I can't bring it closer to my face, Nikkei. So you said he's going to get slammed to this episode.
People drinking to the podcasts, I guess, between Jonathan and Honk.
And I'm just sitting here. I've never been drunk in my life.
He doesn't even know how to spell alcohol.
Yeah, I probably don't that well. It's one of those weird words that just are horrible to spell. I think it's from Arabic, right?
Alcool.
Yeah, so I... White presenting Sicilian says, can you do some beatboxing on the next episode? You're really talented, and I just did for you.
That's right.
And this guy, the id...
You're welcome.
Not the id, but the id, says, how do you spell Nikki or Nico's name?
And I told him exactly how you do it in English.
I'm not going to read Goy Leone's comment just for his own. And again, referencing, we were talking about Netflix last episode, Joey Baloney. I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. Joey Baloney.
Joey!
Joey Baloney. I told my parents to cancel their Netflix because they were giving money to pedos. My sister who leeches off of it was like, but I like it. I don't know why it's so hard, but whatever, I'll keep trying.
I like giving money to pedos.
I like giving money to pedos.
Please don't stop me from giving
I gotta
money
watch
to
My Name is Jazz.
Anything with that.
I gotta watch My Name is Jazz. I don't think it's on there, but... And Nikkei is right on the trash question, says John Nanada, but I don't know what he was talking about.
He's talking about Mexicans making a mess of the outdoors. Yeah.
The trash, yeah. Very depressing when you're out on the trail and you just see trash.
I'm not depressed. I'm angry.
It's
depression,
both.
Depression, I don't even feel it. It's just anger.
I get
like,
both.
Like, speaking of trash and just seeing disgusting shit out in public, I was just driving around earlier today, and this dude was just straight up pissing in the parking lot. He wasn't even trying to hide. He was just standing next to his car.
He just had it hanging out, just going at it.
He was clearly pissing, you know. I didn't have to look that hard to see how he was standing. And it's just like, oh, okay, this guy thinks he has no clue that he's in view of everybody.
Oh, I mean, probably knows. He's just a libertarian. He's just exercising his piss rights.
Like, my God, he could have stood on the other side of his car and he would have been more private than what he did, what he chose, what he went for. Like, let me stand on the side of the car facing the road.
And then our good friend with the crazy name, Vanhash Taska, says, you never know when the new TYH is going to drop.
Which isn't actually true at all.
Because it'll always come out eventually.
You can take that to the bank.
Take it to the bank. So
just
yeah.
Don't piss outside of it.
Don't piss on the concrete because there's nothing
everybody
worse than a summer
everybody
day.
Everybody can see you, believe me.
There's nothing worse than a summer day when the concrete is heating up and there's just like dry piss and the fumes. Just
nibbers be pissing.
Yeah, they be
straight in the parking lot.
The parking lot, the sidewalk. The more urban, they're just pissing everywhere. They're pissing on the walls. I'm not used to that. I'm more of a suburban kind of guy. So when I go to a big city, one, I'm like, damn, there's too many people. And two, there's piss smell everywhere. I don't like this.
Yeah. Not a fan of piss.
Yeah, I just... And I hate to be very gross, but it's like, you know, when you're like, you're walking on in a city street and you can like, it's kind of sticky on your shoes and you know, that's probably piss. Like just,
yeah,
or something.
You just can't even think about it for too long.
Yeah. But, I bet you like the people that designed these city streets or, you know, and these buildings did not, they'd be so happy to know what happened 100 years.
I mean, thank God we don't have horses still walking around.
Oh, that's true.
Like, this is bad enough without them.
Yeah.
Now we got horse urine and feces strewn about the roads. I mean, nah. I remember in the history books in elementary school, one visceral description included there was like on the early 20th century U.S. history, scribing the transition from, you know, horse and buggy carriages, etc., to the automobile and the streetcar. One of the immediate, like, public health benefits was, like, you wouldn't have major urban centers.
It'd smell like piss.
Well, in the summer, you'd have horse manure on the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just
crusting up and blowing in the wind. People inhale it.
Ugh. Jeez, probably messes with your health, too, because it's...
Well, yeah, no, that was their points. Like, yeah, see, you know, the cars, they might have produced all this exhaust, but at least you weren't breathing in horse crap.
The trad way is to breathe in the horse dust. That's trad.
I don't know if I'm returning to that tradition. I know. I think I'm good.
All right, everybody, we have a treat for you today. We did some prep, and by prep, I mean reading the article beforehand instead of doing it live on air.
Fuck it, we won't do it live.
And I got the good quotes. But you guys may have heard about this. It's been the news of the week, maybe. There is
the rioting, the deaths.
Besides that.
Oh, okay. So not the news of the week. The other news.
The other news. Like... there was a associate professor at history at George Washington University in Washington D.C. There is a professor, Jessica A. Krug. She presented herself as a Caribbean black. That was her persona. Mm. But she revealed on a Medium post, like that blog website, that she was actually, the whole time, she was a Jewish white woman.
Oh.
So she did a lot of work in, like, African colonial history. And I guess to play the part of a... African studies or African history professor, she decided to pretend she was black.
Mm. And I guess that gave her a lot of credibility, huh?
Yeah, it gave her a lot of credibility. And she was virulently anti-white, and she still is. And so she really played up that persona. And her being black gave her kind of even more leeway to say very crazy things against white people. But I have some quotes from the Medium article, which I think shows you how mentally ill and mentally deranged this professor.
Well, they say the medium is the message, so lay it on us.
That is from Marshall McLuhan. Anyways, let's go. This is I think from the beginning. For the better part of my life, every move I've made, every relationship I've formed has been rooted
in... I'll be watching you?
No, but...
No? Oh.
Has been rooted... in the napalm toxic soil of lies.
It's been rooted.
Not just any lies. To an escalating degree over my adult life, I've eschewed my lived experience as a white Jewish child in suburban Kansas City under various assumed identities within a blackness that I had no right to claim.
I have a funny story to interrupt about Jews in Kansas City.
What?
I was talking to this Jew the other day.
What?
And, Cuck? Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Couldn't believe it either, man. Talking to a Hebraic...
No, I'm mad at the part that you're talking to someone from Kansas City.
No, he wasn't from Kansas City, but he was making the claim that Kansas City was the most homosexual city on earth.
I don't know.
And I corrected him to say that it's actually Tel Aviv.
Oh!
And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, bro, Tel Aviv, Israel is the gayest city on earth. And he's like, no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not like that over there. And I'm like, dude,
they really do.
Go check it out. Just search for gayest city on earth right now. And he was flabbergasted. It was Tel Aviv. I mean, he was dead set convinced that it was Kansas City.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that Kansas City was a gay city. I've never been there.
Yeah, me neither.
Have you ever been? No.
No.
Okay. But apparently there's a whole bunch of fag shit in KC. I don't know if OKC, but definitely KC.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a straight guy, you know, don't go to Kansas City.
So she admits that mental illness was a cause for this behavior, but she also writes, "Mental health issues can never, will never, neither explain nor justify, neither condone nor excuse that, in spite of knowing and regularly critiquing any and every non-black person who appropriates from black people, my false identity was crafted entirely from the fabric of black lives, that I claim belonging with living people and ancestors to whom and for whom my being is always a threat at best and a death sentence at worst. I'm not a culture vulture. I'm a culture leech." So this is a crazy quote. I might skip some of the ones that I chose. She said that she believes in cancel culture as a righteous tool for those with less structural power to wield against those with more power. But she has this: "I should absolutely be canceled. No, I don't write in passive voice ever, because I believe we must name power. So you should absolutely cancel me, and I absolutely cancel myself."
Oh, shit. She's gonna do it.
I mean... And look it.
Don't do it, Jess. No!
I don't believe that any anti-black life has inherent value.
What a bitch.
I don't know that it is possible to repair a single relationship I have with another person, living or dead. I don't believe I deserve the grace or kindness to do so. That's not the worst. Well, that's her cringe post. That's what she this is how it was revealed to the world. It was through a Medium post, as one does. So when Ike reveals finally that he's an African American, he could do it live on
Never going to happen.
But I thought this was funny. On New York Post, Jessica Krug allegedly harassed neighbors with anti-white insults. So she was a neighbor from hell.
She's a total Kent.
This is just the first paragraph. "Jessica Krug was a neighbor from hell who stole packages, tried to stomp on a tiny black poodle, and called a visitor a stupid white bitch. Residents at her East Harlem apartment building told the Post on Friday."
Jesus.
I don't know why there is a white woman visiting her East Harlem apartment building.
I don't know what East Harlem is.
Well, it's like. Harlem. I mean, I've never been to New York, but I assume
I don't know if all of Harlem is black, but it's probably a fair guess. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
I honestly also don't care. It's Harlem. Yeah, if you're a white person living in Harlem, I don't know what you're doing.
So the white girl was visiting. So she has a friend at the apartment complex, and this is from her. "I said hi to her one day, and she said, 'Stupid white bitch,' or something."
Oh my god. Dude, she's just compensating.
"The neighbor said Krug bizarrely had inexplicable beefs with white visitors and residents."
No, I think it's pretty explicable now. She is literally just trying to... you know, no pun intended, ape the behaviors she thinks that black people have.
She called this woman like white trash and white bitch whenever she had the chance.
Dude, look, I interact with like gamers on a fairly regular basis. I've never received this kind of vulgarity from them. Like, look, if I ever have a problem, I'm usually able to solve it or, like, rectify it before it gets this fucking hostile. You know, maybe they'll pick on old people or little kids, but they're not picking on, like, grown-ass adults unless, you know, there's some real shit going down. And this Jew is just like, "I'm going to be mean to any white person around me because that's what I think black people do."
Yeah, well, there's also Anderson, the woman said, "I used to go out running. She would pass me when I'm running and say, 'Gentrifying!' She called me white trash, 'Go back to Ohio.' Which is funny, because I'm an immigrant but I'm a white immigrant from Sweden.
Sweden, yes. Wow, that must be even harder for her.
Anderson told,
I mean, she's a Swede.
Anderson told the Post that she used to have a subscription to the meal delivery service, which one it doesn't say, and that Krug was caught on camera throwing into the garbage a box of fresh food that had just been delivered to Anderson.
What a fucking cunt.
This
woman is a total bitch. Dude, okay. When she says this is from mental illness, she is not exaggerating.
Yeah.
This is more mental illness than just pretending to be black. This is being psychotic.
Anderson said Krug has also been throwing air punches at me when they cross paths in the hallway.
What? No way. Oh my god.
I'm not a really fearful...
What is wrong with Jews?
Anderson says, I'm not a really fearful person. She calls me names and stuff, and it's not okay, but it's kind of funny. I'll tell my friends about it and say, if anything happens to me, it's definitely her.
Wow. How Nordic of her to have this attitude. You know, I don't take it that seriously, but, you know, I think it's mostly funny. Very Nordic.
And then it ends with a Anderson saying, I hope she gets the help she needs and doesn't do any self-harm or something crazy.
Yeah, the help that she needs will never come because...
She won't accept it
because
she's a black hole of... The only black thing she's ever been
insanity.
Is a black hole of just...
Positivity negativity. And like social cohesion. Well, she's the opposite. She's like a sun of negativity. She radiates negativity.
Oh, yeah, true.
She's a black
hole like,
of anything good and, like, peaceful, harmonious.
Literally doing air punches at a random Swedish woman.
Her neighbor! That she sees all the time and throws away her DoorDash. Who does that?
Jessica
Crazy
Krug.
Jews.
Krug-brained. Yeah, that's...
Ugh,
that is literally...
What an awful bitch.
It's really bad. And, but, you know what's interesting, Nike? This is not the first person at George Washington University to have a fake identity.
Wow, GWU must be some kind of weird place that makes you, like,
gay?
Disassociate and gay. Well, homosexuality is inherently disassociative.
Well, this guy, there is a guy, an assistant English professor at George Washington University. I like to say it like my grandpa, sorry. H.G. Carrillo. He was an assistant professor at George Washington University. He claimed to be a Cuban immigrant, wrote about the Cuban migrant experience in a book called Losing My Spanish.
Losing My Spanish?
Yes, 2004. But the reality is that he was a
Look,
black...
Most, like, most East Spanish people are like those niggas you meet on, like, Counter-Strike from Mexico.
Most what?
The niggas you meet
playing. Oh, E-Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reality is that he was a black American with no Latino ancestry from Detroit. His real name was Herman Glenn Carroll. So he barely changed it. He went from Carroll to Carrillo.
Carrillo.
But this is the crazy thing. So this is revealed. It was revealed that this professor was lying after he died from COVID-19. So, after he died, his sister and a niece told the media that, yeah, my brother was pretending to be a, like, Afro-Latino. He's not. That's not his real name. His first language is in Spanish. So, yes. So, this is a story that he told people. This is from the Washington Post article, which I think is the one most people know about when they're reading the story. Carrillo was 7 when his father, a physician, his mother, an educator, and their 4 children fled Fidel Castro's island in 1967, arriving in Michigan by way of Spain and Florida. It's said he was something of a prodigy as a classical pianist when he was growing up, and by his late teens was performing at venues in the United States and abroad. before he lost interest and stopped abruptly. That's just hogwash. Fake. Not real. His sister said that he was good at piano, but he wasn't a prodigy. Or, like, you know, he wasn't... He wasn't performing as a teenager in the U.S. and around the world. So this article hints at, like, this identity coming about as a result of a sort of traumatic event in his life. It says he fell in love with an architect, David Hertzfeld, to whom he would later dedicate "Losing My Spanish." On a September afternoon in 1988.
Wait, is that how you say it? Loosing?
Yeah, it's loosing. Loosing. It's spelled like loosing, like it's not spelled losing.
Oh, right.
I didn't notice that.
Loosing my Spanish.
Loosing my Spanish.
He says it like a fucking Bronx Puerto Rican.
Yes. He did some racism in his, because
that's not what Cuban people speak. It's like New York Puerto Rican.
So this fella that he was dating, yeah, he's gay, died of AIDS in September 1988. In his grief, Carrillo was at loose ends, wandering in search of himself. Loose ends. Was that loose ends? He found himself, and he was a Latino.
He found himself, and he was Latino.
Yes, he was a Latino. So, the article focuses on observations about his husband, before he died, whose name is Dennis Van Engelsdorp, the eternal Dutchman, who is an etymologist. He had a funny thing to say about that.
Well, he's an entomologist.
Yeah, entomologist.
You said etymologist.
No, I didn't. I just pronounced it very badly.
Oh. Well, yes, he's a literal professional bug chaser.
Yeah, he's...
Which is quite fitting.
Yeah. Yeah, the article...
It is both quite fitting and wholly inappropriate.
Yeah, so it says in Michigan, meanwhile, relatives of Glenn were aghast and bemused after the book came out as they began to read online literary praise for H.G. Carrillo, a Cuban-born novelist. Webley said, We were all like, what? That sounds kind of Hispanic. What?
What is this, like, Waluigi? Wah!
I like how they... What? They didn't even put the T. It's supposed to be like, oh. Okay, most of his loved ones eventually shrugged it off. Glenn was always eccentric, Webley said. I believe that's his sister. But his mother took offense. She was really hurt by the whole facade. I confronted him about it, Susan Carroll, his sister, recalls. I don't know who Webley was. Our mother was thinking, what did he do wrong? Did we do wrong? Did he have such a horrible childhood? But he said nothing much back to me. He said he loved me and always would. And that's the story of H.G. Carrillo. The article kind of sucks. It's on the Washington Post. It's boring and annoying. So that's some of the interesting quotes from it. Like, they spend like 5 paragraphs talking about Engelsdorp going through his garden and looking at bugs. And it's like, geez, man, I don't care. But, yeah. So, there's something about George Washington University that really attracts imposters. So, Nike, this is a trip. But this reminds me of back in the day when I went to another school. One of the leaders of the Africana studies programs was this white woman. She'd, like, wear African dresses and shit.
Huh.
And...
like a white girl in a dashiki?
Yeah. That's right. Maybe she was like a quadroon or something, but she just looked white to me.
She looked white to me.
But it was funny. I think this was such a long time ago. I don't know if it was me or my friend, but we walked in on accident to one of those, like, it's like a black English class. like for black students.
I don't know what that is.
It was weird. It was that school. I had like a special Monics. English class for like the black students. I mean, you didn't have to be black to join.
I mean, we normally call that remedial.
Well, they like focused on No, it was like English 101, but like they focused on African literature, like African American literature. And writing, I guess.
Mind.
And one of us, it's so long ago, I don't know if it was me or him. We opened the door and there was just a room of black people, and then here's one of us, whitest motherfuckers, just staring at us, staring us down because we opened the wrong classroom door. Like, what are you doing here? It was funny. Yeah, so it was, let me just close the door.
Yeah. Slam that door shut and run away.
One of my things in high school, I think, was I would just open random doors to classrooms and just like try to make it awkward.
That's autistic.
That was funny. My friends thought it was funny.
If you did it just to troll, then I guess it's not autistic.
Yeah, it was to troll, to get people like, whoa, what is this? What is this guy doing? What is this cracking doing? That's
funny, then. What the fuck is this guy?
What's he doing?
Close the door, cabrón.
He's so funny.
Close the door, stupido.
And stupido. Stupid person. You're Anglo.
Close the door, you stupid American.
I did not have French people at my school.
Would it be weird if we just had French immigrants? Like, what if we were overnight, one day we woke up and every spick was actually just a frog? Like, you just see, like, a truck full of, like, lawn care equipment, and it's just full of French guys in berets, like, all smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, reading Camus.
We are going to cut your lawn today.
We will take your jobs.
We are taking your stupid American jobs.
Burritos will be made out of baguettes now. They'll like carve.
Every sort of Mexican joint is actually just a cafe now overnight.
That would be so cool.
Like you just, you know, Panera gets run out of business.
Yeah, because
one shop, like single storefront shop can offer you like a cheap baguette and soup.
Yeah.
Some
ratatouille.
Ratatouille et ce fromage.
Omelette du fromage.
Extra. What would there be equivalent of guacamole?
Huh.
I'm not very.
And perhaps I don't really know because I don't eat a lot of French cuisine even though I've had it once or a few times, like two times. It was really amazing.
I would welcome that change of demographic scenery. Arrangement.
A really good thing is to have salad niçoise.
Salad niçoise.
Yeah, what it is it's a salad, but they put like really nice, high quality tuna on top, like jarred tuna or canned.
Jarred tuna.
Yeah, huh. And a little bit of anchovies.
It sounds really good.
And then you know they put some potatoes and some haricots verts, green beans, and it's amazing. It's fantastic.
Oh man, I've never had that. I'm gonna have to try it.
Yeah, if you could find a good French restaurant.
It's called salad niçoise.
Salad niçoise. I'm trying to say it kind of American niçoise. So people can understand.
Salad niçoise.
I'm actually much more cultured than that. I'm just kidding.
Salonique niçoise. That's the Greek version.
Yeah, but French food is really good. But I don't know. I don't know what the equivalent would be. I know that the Greek or the Mediterranean. Equivalent would be hummus. That would be the Mediterranean guacamole.
Yes.
Or baba ganoush as well. I think baba ganoush is maybe more like salsa, kind of. Not really, but...
That could be right.
Yeah.
Baba ganoush... Baba's got like extra stuff in it.
Yeah, it's a little more...
Whereas like hummus is sort of straight.
Yeah, it's just straight tahini and chickpeas and like that's... And garlic, but it's all shredded and perfect and beautiful paste.
Maybe it would be baba ganoush because you can get avocado sliced, you can get eggplant sliced, I don't know. It's really hard to just come up with the direct equivalency here. There's no rule that says there has to be something like equivalent.
I do
like baba ganoush, and I do like hummus.
Yeah, hummus. It's actually an Israeli dish, okay, guys?
Yeah, look up Israeli food.
Well, people get mad at, like, I've seen Israeli chefs, like, make, you know, hummus and stuff on YouTube, and people
This is a traditional Israeli dish.
And then Palestinians, angry AF, understandably. It's like, and that's not it.
You know, just, like, low-key, all this stuff was made by Greeks, like, hundreds of years ago, before Arabs were around.
Yeah, true. True?
More like over a thousand years ago, but, you know, whatever. It's whatever. Look, there's regional variants. They can have their own little, you know, Arab spin on things. It's okay.
But nothing compares to the baba ganoush that Yaya makes, am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Yaya's baba,
Well, they're so good. I don't know how to do a Greek accent. I don't really know what Greek
is. It's just really good, man.
Ah, man. I wonder how many other... So there is a list on Wikipedia. We could go over just some quick names of imposters.
Okay, lay it on me.
There's a section called False Minority National Identity Claims. So they have H.G. Carrillo. There are a lot of people who have pretended to be Native Americans.
What about Jews? I want to hear people who pretended to be Jews.
Lorne Chabot, Canadian ice hockey player whose team credited him as Lorne Chabotsky in an attempt to attract more Jewish American fans.
Chabotsky.
It's like we have some French guy. It's like, okay, let's just add ski at the end.
Chabotsky.
Lorne. So there's one of those. I wonder if there are any more of those. This one's funny. I knew about this one. Iron Eyes Cody. He's an Italian American from Sicily, who pretended to be a Cherokee Cree Native American. He was used a lot in Hollywood movies, and there is a commercial.
He was the guy with the commercial.
Yeah, Keep America Beautiful commercial, where it's like the crying Indian. It was actually in Italian the whole time.
The crying spigotty.
it's funny because that's like my mom. She said, "Oh, that was my favorite commercial as a kid."
Did you ever tell her about who that guy is?
No, I don't know if I told her.
You got to do it and film the reaction. Obviously you can't share it. You should make a TikTok channel.
There's an Australian who pretended to be of Ukrainian ancestry for a novel, The Hand That Signed Paper, about a Ukrainian family who participate with Nazis in the Holocaust.
Oh.
Like, okay. Oh, that's Rachel Dolezal. We know that one.
Oh, no.
So there's also Grey Owl, born Archibald Bellany from England, who pretended to be an Ojibwe.
Ojibwe.
Hello, mates.
I'm a fucking Indian.
Did you know that?
I got a fucking feather in me hat.
Call it macaroni.
I'm a macaroni Indian.
There's Jamake Highwater, writer and journalist born Jackie Marks into a European Jewish family.
Oh my god!
Later claimed he was a Cherokee.
I'm a fucking Cherokee, don't you know? I'm gonna start a casino and I'm gonna make a lot of money.
I didn't say what this guy was. But some guy named Two Moon Meridas. Seller of herbal medicine who claimed he was of Sioux birth.
Was actually...
It doesn't really say. He was born Chico Colón Meridan.
Sounds like Spanish or Colombian.
Yeah. Red Thundercloud. An African-American who claimed to be the last speaker of the Catawba language. He was just speaking hardcore Ebonics.
He's just like, no, he's just like, the language I speak is cat a watermelon. Is that the show title?
Maybe. He was actually fluent in the language, but he wasn't a native speaker. But I guess he pretended to be a native speaker.
Damn.
That's a random thing to know.
Yeah. I want to hear more people pretending to be Jewish.
Yeah, that's all I could find.
The hockey player?
Yeah, there was also...
Do control F for Jewish on the page.
I mean... Okay, let's see. That's it. That's it, buddy. Wait. There's not... This comes up, but it's not... It's a Jew pretending to be someone else. Eric von Stromheim, film director and actor, created a backstory for himself as an Austrian aristocrat. Oh my gosh. Austrian aristocrat and imperial officer. In reality, he was the son of a lower middle class Jewish hat maker and never served in any military.
You scorn, son of a haberdasher.
There is a, let's see what this is. A film about Yentl, sorry. I like lentils and yentls. A 1983 American romantic musical drama based on the 1970 play of Singer's short story, Yentl the Yeshiva Boy, where Barbara Streisand as a Jewish girl who disguises herself as a boy to enter religious training. So pretending to be a boy. That's all comes up with the Jewish. I mean, we have Whoopi Goldberg, right?
Whoopi Goldberg?
She pretended. I mean, her real name ain't Goldberg. Her real name's Johnson.
Whoopi Goldberg. She is big in Paris.
Paris? Goldberg. Is she really?
I have no idea. But
didn't she do like a nun movie?
The Sister Act.
Sister Act. I don't remember the premise. Was it just like cool nun? Were they just cool nuns or something?
She's like, oh, here I am. I'm going to pretend to be a nun, I think. She pretends to be a nun. And like becomes like the choir teacher to this convent that was tone deaf. And so it's like musical bait.
Yeah.
You know, they just design a plot. Sort of like The Music Man, where it's like, oh, I'm a con man. I'm going to sell you instruments. Really, I don't know fuck all about performance. God, The Music Man is such a forgettable fucking play. I hate that.
I don't even know what that is.
It's such a dumb story. It's so forgettable.
I don't like
and
plays.
And for some reason... Oh, I do. I'm a big fan.
It's because you're gay.
It's because I'm Greek. Actually.
Oh, okay.
And those two things are not related.
Wait, is a musical with book, music, and lyrics by Meredith Wilson, but when I click on it, it shows a man. Isn't Meredith a woman name? A woman's name? Is he transgender? Maybe he's just unlucky.
Yeah, if your parents name you Meredith, I mean...
Well, his full name is Robert Heinige Meredith Wilson.
Oh, so he just goes by a woman's name by choice, huh?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't say anything about him being transgender.
Just maybe weird.
Maybe just weird.
Pretty weird.
Yeah, but what are your favorite?
Was named Dixie Wilson.
Dixie Wilson.
Dixie Lucille Reiniger Wilson.
You know what? What's your favorite musical or play or whatever?
I don't know.
Hairspray?
Yeah, sure. Let's just go with that. Fucking John Waters out here.
Did he write that?
Yes. He wrote that and played a woman in it.
Oh, wow. I watched when I was a younger guy, kid, they had that film adaption of it.
Yeah, I remember when that came out.
2007. There we go. Oh, the Broadway came out in 2002. Oh, no. Okay, so it's based on the 1988 film from John Waters. I see. Michelle.
I mean, you have... In the movie, you have John Travolta playing the mother.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just... Jesus Christ.
Do they have... Is Zac Efron in this or no? I don't know why I remember, like...
I don't even remember, bro.
Oh, yeah, he was. Zach.
I just know that, Saffron. Like, you know, Christopher Walken and fucking John Travolta dancing as husband as wife. Like, having Christopher Walken be married to John Travolta is just like an assault on my psyche.
That's just what we do in America.
That's just Zog, baby.
That's the American dream. What are your favorite plays?
I don't know. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Cats?
Never seen it. Never will. Absolutely not.
What are the other? That's like all I know.
I did see Spider-Man, the play.
Spider-Man the play.
After the guy broke his fucking back.
Whoa.
The original actor. Well, I think they still had the original. Well, maybe they didn't. When they first tried to do Spider-Man on Broadway,
mm-hmm.
The harness they had for the high flying scenes broke, and the actor like busted his spine.
Jeez.
Maybe it wasn't even that. Maybe it was during the audition. He broke his back trying to do a trick. I can't remember exactly if it were in the audition or the performance.
Tried to do a kickflip and he just totally.
But either way, the actor broke his spine, and there was a huge lawsuit. The play got delayed for a long time, and
he's paralyzed, right?
They did come out with a production of it, but the harness is very secure and very visible. You know, something they were trying to avoid originally. But at that point, it was just like, we need to get this out onto Broadway and make some fucking money here, because we just had to pay a huge lawsuit.
Jeez. Yeah, the classic play, Spider-Man.
It wasn't bad, actually. It was not bad. I saw it in person.
Is there anything else you wanted to talk about that you had in your...
Not off the top of my head, no.
Oh, there wasn't like an article or something?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you want to talk about the troops?
Yes.
So we got from the Military Times, troops, white nationalism, a national security threat equal to ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
So
let's just jump straight into the poll that they took. 1,018 active duty troops conducted by the Military Times in partnership with Syracuse University Institute for Veterans and Military Families, conducted between July 27th and August 10th. And we have national security threats. And these are the percentage of service members who ranked each of the following groups and issues as a significant national security threat. Number one on the list, can you guess?
I don't know, like Antifa? Or,
Nope. Think, like, realistic.
Israel?
Here. Okay, I said realistic.
Oh, okay. White nationalists?
No.
Oh, what is it?
It's China.
Oh, China!
At 86.5%, and close behind at number two with 85.9% is cyber terrorism. Third at 57.7 is, you guessed it, Iran.
Oh.
And at about the same level, we have 4.81%, i.e. less than a majority, say ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and foreign terrorists. Even less, 47.6, say white nationalists. And a little bit less than that, well, within the margin of error, less, is domestic Islamic terrorists at 45.8%.
Well, we don't have to worry about those because Israel has...
Well, we got, you know, North Korea at 40%. We've got immigration at 21.4%.
So those people who answered that was a threat are white nationalists.
Yes.
And they need to be watched.
And, you know, I guess they're at the other 47.6% of people polled around them that say it's white nationalists that are a significant threat.
Yeah.
One thing they kept off of the graphic at 33.1% was, quote-unquote, U.S. protest movements. I wonder what that could include.
Yeah.
They also have polls on racism in the ranks, which asked, have you personally witnessed examples of white nationalism or racism within the ranks of the military? And among all troops, 68.7% said no.
Huh.
Compared to 31.3% saying yes. When only controlling for minority troops, 57.2% said yes. So they give the demographics of who was surveyed here. And the participants were 93% male, 7% female. Understandable. 82% were white, 5% were Hispanic, 6 were black, and 2 were Asian, with 6% saying other. And you're able to select more than one ethnicity slash race. So we got a overwhelmingly white male response, and, well, 47% of all involved say white nationalism is a significant security threat.
Which is bogus.
Yeah.
I mean, because
we actually want to have a secure nation.
We have people literally burning down cities right now, and they did a political assassination in Portland. And they're not considered like a terroristic threat by the establishment, you know, which is absurd. And it's absurd to think also that, like, their violence won't escalate even more now, you know? They're destroying whole cities. Who knows? Like, we don't know everything like that, because, like, in those places in Portland, like Chaz, whatever, we don't know everything that goes on. Who knows how many rapes have been covered up because they don't want to go to the police or something like that. Or all these things, all these crimes, because, like, there's no police there. And this is all because of the Antifa terrorists, you know.
You want to hear a Reddit moment I just got sent by somebody?
What's the Reddit moment?
The subreddit is blocked out and the user. But the screenshot that I have here says it's a picture of a man and a young girl in a, you know, high viz jackets, and says, "I chose to spend my 21st birthday with my dad at work, which happened to be a little over a year after he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I didn't think he'd be around to see my 21st, but I'm also so blessed that he was, and that he still continues to kick cancer's ass."
Sounds positive.
The highlighted comment here says, "OP is a Trump supporter. I have downvoted every post you have ever posted and have reported this post. If this behavior does not change, your punishment will further continue."
Jeez!
Like, what a fucking cunt.
Yeah, these are the people that are literally insane.
I will never post on Reddit in my life, son. That is on Reddit, God.
Reddit consistently gets worse. He thought it was bad like a year ago. It gets even worse. Just imagine what it's going to be like in a year from now. It's like truly exponential. It's declining.
Absolutely.
It gets really bad. But yeah, like, it's great. We're living in weird ass times. University is essentially just a brainwashing camp. School administrations are talking about, like, we should read Robin DiAngelo and what's that guy's name with the X in his name? How to be
Ibrahim.
Ibrahim X. I've seen people mention that
Ibrahim
book.
Ibrahim 10 Kennedy.
Ibrahim what?
10.
10? Oh, yeah. Mark 10. Yeah, it's school administrations are like psychologically abusing everyone, basically.
Wow,
who knows?
News.
I wouldn't be surprised if in the military they're going to have to start reading Ibrahim X's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist.
Here's another screenshot I was just sent from Pink News Twitter.
Pink News Twitter.
Just a reminder that Republican lawmakers want to make child drag shows illegal.
Ah, what a bunch of immoral evil
people.
That
sounds like the best ad I've ever heard for the Republican Party in years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fall for the Finkel thing, but on God, it's just like, what did you think you were going to accomplish by posting this?
Yeah, so like the future of university is like, we're going to have to read Ibrahim X while also watching a child drag show. That's gonna be like
not gonna be me, motherfucker.
Like, that's gonna be your orientation. You have to do a book report. You know, like how some of the radical blacks are making fun of Nick Cannon? They're like, this nigga had to do a book report on the Jews now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have to start doing book reports on Ibrahim. Just like, if we want to get into college, we have to write, like, you know, an essay on that book and see like what we need to do to improve the world.
Yeah, I'm skipping that one.
Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs, and like this absurd thing that you could just like escape into STEM. I mean, I think that's kind of a dead meme by this time, but like it's gonna go into STEM. But like even so, like STEM is just it. I don't know. It's
we need a united front against PAWS.
Yes, giving up the liberal arts was a big mistake for us. We should have tried hard to maintain Western hegemony in liberal arts, because I think that's the most important thing.
Would have been really based if we did.
Yeah, now it's just gay. Yeah.
I guess that's all we got for now.
Well, I was wondering like how much of that, again, I don't know if people always show their true feelings even in polls. I'm not trying to act like everyone that military secretly based or anything, but like these are people who, if you're in the military, assume you have to go through some diversity training and stuff like that, and they know the environment.
Yeah, I wonder which branch this was.
Marine niggas would be saying, oh, it's definitely the Air Force.
Or the Navy.
Yeah, they all have their own little... They have their own little disputes and...
their beefs.
Yeah, their beefs, like my grandpa does with basically everyone else. He's like, oh, yeah, you're from the Army, you're just a retard.
Yeah. Was he in the military?
He was in the Air Force.
Ah, okay.
So he's like, yeah, Army retards, basically. And he'll probably say that too.
Lol.
But is the Air Force supposed to be like faggots or something?
They're supposed to be pampered.
Yeah, pampered. He's
and manlets.
I don't think he's really manlet. He's just an average American height. I don't really have manlets in my family. We have womanlets, though.
Mm.
But that's just a woman, you know?
Yeah, nobody cares.
No one cares if women are short. Women are short. Small. But is there anything else you want to talk about?
Nah.
I think I'm going to go get some cream cheese ragoons.
That sounds absolutely wonderful.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I might not actually do it, but I'm going to be thinking about it all day and regret. I'm going to be regretting
it. Now
you got to
make me think about it.
Yeah, we'll go get some.
All right.
Well, my name is Anglin. With me, I'm Nikkei.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.